Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you, chose that you should exist, chose you, consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. And welcome everyone, everybody who's tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talks Revolutionary Life, guys. My name is Gary. We're here every weekday night, by the way, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every weekday night, we take on a different subject that affects our lives every day. Health, education, work, economy, you name it, baby. We talk about it. Only difference is we take a revolutionary view of these things. And revolution is just change. And the revolutionary is just someone who wants to be on the vanguard of change. Reactionary, somebody who wants to hold back change. Well, this is revolutionary life. And we want to be revolutionary in every aspect of life. Tonight, we're talking about health, guys. We're talking about your, mine, and the public's in general. Health. We just had a COVID epidemic. We lost, hundreds of thousands of deaths that's been attributed to that. Many of the people who died were compromised health-wise to begin with. If you were obese, if you had what they call comorbidities, and you already had high blood pressure, you already had extreme asthma or some of the lung, COD, CPD, CPD, congestive pulmonary problems, breathing problems. So if you were already sick, you were already being treated for such an illness, then boom, COVID just added something to that. Right? And so if we're healthy in the first place, when you think. Anyway, we're going to talk about health tonight, guys. And we're going to talk about some things that may shock and amaze you, as a matter of fact. Some things you may not have known about health. Or some approaches to health that you may not have heard of. All right? And so it's going to be interesting tonight as we talk about health. We talk about food. We talk about diets, different diets. We talk about disease, and we talk about death. Now, I've lost several people in my family. They've passed on. None of them were killed. None of them were in accidents, plane crashes, car crashes, none of that. They all, to a man, died from health problems. They'd be here right now. They'd be here right now. They died from health problems, guys. I'm losing my people. Not from accidents, murders or something. I'm losing my people from just simply from health issues. So I think it's apropos. I think it's important, as a matter of fact, as a priority. Given COVID and all this stuff and the attacks on health that's going on now and comorbidities, already being sick and getting COVID, I think it's a damn good time that we talk about health. I hope some of my family members are listening tonight because I couldn't talk about health to them when I got into health. You know what I mean? I have a certain diet. I'll talk about that tonight and how I got there. But they didn't agree with that diet. I wouldn't raise that way. And most of them are gone now. Did nobody kill them. They didn't die in an accident. They'd be here right now were it not for their health condition, their physical health. That's all. That's what I'm saying. That's what we're going to address this question tonight, and I hope you listen in. And if you, we're a call-in show, guys. We are a call-in show. So at some point here, about halfway through, I'm going to announce our call-in section. I'm going to give out that call-in number. I'm going to open up my chat room, and You'll be able to make comments in the chat. You'll be able to come on the air. There's no intermediate, so when you call me, boom, I'm going to put you right on the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response, of course. And so I'll announce that period called the call-in time. But for now, guys, I want you to get ready because there's going to be some interesting things, things you may have known already, things that may confirm something you already know. But there are also some new things here and some interesting twists in this topic. Stick with me, guys, and I'll see you in a minute. I'm going to give you a little music, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. And tonight, guys, on Revolutionary Life, pure and simple. Yours, mine, general public's. How you doing? I hope your health is fine. I got a little poster up showing out there that says, if you don't make time for your health, you certainly are going to make time for your illness. You won't have a choice. So let's make time for health tonight. And let's get to it. I wanted to bring out right off the top so that people understand where I stand at on food and diets and all that kind of stuff. Well over 20 years ago, I became a vegetarian. And for years, people would ask, how you stay so svelte? I remember getting that one. People would ask, how you stay so healthy or whatever. And I would never say I was a vegetarian. I don't know. I just couldn't back that up with anything. So I would never just start claiming because I eat vegetables. That's why I'm doing, you know, It was an experiment for me to see if I would be healthier without meat in my diet. So for years, I would never champion being a vegetarian. Never. I couldn't back it up. So if people challenged me, what could I say, you know? And so, because I wasn't sure myself. I knew I was in good health. I didn't have any pills to take, doctor's appointments, none of that stuff. And, you know, pain, aches and pains and all that stuff. And so 20-something years later, guys, well over 20 years later, I can talk about it. It's got to be. I don't know. I still don't have stats. All I know is it's been well over 20 years, man. And I meet people my age, and I can't believe it. Sometimes I go look in the mirror and say, God, do I look like that? Am I, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying, I now don't mind crediting my diet for my health. I'm willing to do that now. I'm willing to stand up now. After 20 years, guys, I would never fight for people changing their diet to a vegetarian diet. I had, but like I say, for me, it was an experiment. I was trying something to see if I wouldn't die from some health issue, like my family's. Yeah. And so what I did, guys, is that I didn't become a vegetarian for any religious reasons. Oftentimes people hear you're a vegetarian and they say, what, you're a Muslim or you're what? And so I have to explain to them that, no, all I did was study the issue. I heard about it. I knew people were doing it. So before I did it, like most things, I did my due diligence. I went and got books on this subject. And so I got a scientific study. All right? And you can too. But this was years ago. This is me getting ready to become a vegetarian, or just to check it out, see what it's like, see if I could handle it. And I learned some things. Number one, an examination of a meat-eating animal in nature, a vegetable-eating animal in nature, and humans in comparison, digesting meat. A meat-eating animal in nature has a high acid content in their stomachs, especially for digesting raw meat, bone, and sinew, and fur, or whatever else gets in there from eating wild meat. High acid content in their stomach is so high that their intestinal tract is purposely short. Nothing stays in them very long. It's high, what's traveling through them now is highly acidic, having come from their stomach. And so they're characterized by having a very short intestine, you know, digestional tract, entire digestional tract, to get it out quickly. On the other hand, in examining vegetarians, animals, cows, deer, etc., it looks that they have a long, involved digestional tract. They used to say cow had several stomachs and all that. Well, it's true. Vegetable-eating animals have a long, long, involved intestinal situation going on in them. Studying that, and when that's compared to humans, it looked to me like our intestinal tract looked more like those vegetable eaters, long and involved and twisting and turning, than it did like a meat eater. So I'm finding out that for humans, eating meat is an ordeal. I'm sorry. It always was, because when you had to catch it and kill it, when you were hunting, when you had to hunt it down, catch it and kill it, that's an ordeal in itself. That takes a lot of energy. By the time you catch it and kill it, if you survive the encounter, the meat you catch probably just puts back the energy you spent tracking and killing, hunting and killing, and carrying back and cooking, and all the work you do preparing. That's right. The other thing about it is they say that meat when you have to, meat has to be cooked, has to be boiled, broiled, fried, generally, and made edible, digestible, I should say. You can eat it. But it's difficult to digest. Why? I just told you. Animals who naturally eat meat have a high acidic content in their stomachs, especially for grinding up raw meat, bone and sinew, and fur, if we get in there. You don't have that kind of acid in your stomach. So I found that I didn't have the level of acid in my stomach as a meat eater really has. I don't have a short intestinal tract like a true meat eater really has. And so if I'm having problems eating meat, I can see why. Now, having said all that, guys, I was just pointing out that I did some research. I read books and studies long before I decided to make that move. But it's been 20 years now. And so after my studies on this subject, I decided to make that move. Now, the regimen I took on to become a vegetarian was to allow myself to let one meat go at a time. And so first thing, pork. Next thing, beef. Next thing, fish and fowl. Fish and fowl. Fish and birds, turkeys, chickens, all that. That's the last meat you let go. When you let that go, you are referred to as a lacto-ovum vegetarian. A lacto-ovum vegetarian indicates that you still eat milk or milk byproducts, yogurt, cheeses, things like that, and you still eat things made with eggs, ovum, lacto-ovum vegetarian. It was called in this regimen. I don't know what other people might call it in their process, but in this particular step-by-step, your last step, after you let pork, beef, fish, and fowl go, you are now a vegetarian of a type. Lacto-ovum, it's called. When you let milk and eggs go, then you're closer to a vegan, I believe it is, or a true vegetarian or something like that. I forgot what that is. Then, check this out. Then I heard that there were people who were breatharians, people who didn't eat anything, any meat or plants. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I got a study on that. And I'm interested in diets because my people were dropping off like flies and wasn't nobody killing them necessarily, directly. They were dying from health problems, man. They'd be here right now. But they're not. And it was very difficult for me early on, of course, when I made the trip because my family didn't understand why I would not eat their meat dishes. And I tried to explain to them that I'm trying out being a vegetarian. I read some things, and this is what it says. It makes sense to me. I'm going to try it. Anyway, so it was difficult, because nobody else was trying it but me. But anyway, I was lucky, guys. I moved out of my southern town, and I moved to California. And boom, they catered to vegetarians and vegans and just about everything out there. So I could always find a place to eat, you know, something to eat. And so that saved the day. And so now, baby, over 20 years later, I'm a vegetarian. I don't have a doctor appointment. I ain't had one, and I don't know when. I've only been to the hospital. I went there to visit somebody. No pills on my shelves or in my medicine cabinet. not even an aspirin. So I brag about it now. I don't brag about it, but I attribute my diet to it now. I wouldn't do that early on for the first 10 years or so. I know I wouldn't. But now it's got to be, I think. Got to have something to do with that. So now, the deeper I got into this, man, I found out some things I think you ought to know about. On how we all of us, get our food and nutrition is linked. How we all get our food and nutrition is linked to the sun. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And that's going to take us all the way to the breatharian, by the way. So hang in there, guys. I'm going to give you a little music. I'll be right back. Don't go that way. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Tonight we're talking about health tonight. We're talking about your health, mine, and the public in general. Now, I was started this presentation off telling you, you know, doing a little openness and then you noted upfront that I'm a vegetarian. I have been over 20 years. And I told you I wouldn't brag about it for the first 10, at least. I just didn't know for sure if my good health was a result of that. And I wasn't going to tell anybody that. I'm going to direct anybody, you go try that or whatever. But after 20-something years, man, with COVID and all this stuff going on, I'm good. I'm good. And so I talk about it now. And I told you that I became a vegetarian not because of religion, not because I didn't want to hurt animals and all that. I mean, the bottom line, some guy asked me one day, he said, Gary, what if there wasn't any vegetables to eat? Then would you eat meat? I said, if you didn't run fast enough, I'd eat you. Because it's all about survival. How do you best survive? Yeah. Of course I'd start eating meat. In fact, guys, it's deeper than that. In fact, I believe meat eating, if you take a look at it, is a result of animals entering a desperate situation where they didn't have anything else to eat. Because if you look at the act, it takes a lot of energy. Hunting takes a lot of energy. Ancient man taking down a mustard of a giant mammoth, elephant or something, it must have took a bunch of them to do that. One tribe couldn't, a few guys couldn't do it by themselves. And all of them that didn't get hurt or killed trying, maybe they brought the thing down, maybe they didn't. But damn, by the time they bring it down and clean it and cook it and all that good stuff, they don't waste enough energy. They're just replacing what they lost. It's a vicious cycle. If you look at it in nature, hunting down something and killing it for a lion or a tiger or whatever, that's a lot of work. And so, I don't know, it's a desperate act. And it's perhaps it evolved this earth during a desperate era on this earth where there was nothing else to eat but each other, I guess. And so I told you as I left here just a minute ago that all of our health, all of our eating, all of our food, all of our nutrition intake, it keeps us up, keep us alive, comes from the sun. I was going to tell you how that is. I'm telling you guys, I'm a teacher, so I did my due diligence before I became a vegetarian. So I read a lot. But, so it turns out on this earth, the regimen, the categories, the levels of nutrition go like this. A plant, vegetation, takes its nutrition from the sun, chlorophyll, chloroplast, photosynthesis, minerals and water from the earth, and carbon dioxide, and they blow out oxygen, just the opposite as we do. They don't have to hunt anything or go after anything. They can take what the earth provides, basic things that the earth provides, and a tree can grow for 100 years without chasing down and killing a thing. There are trees in your yard or in your town that are older than your town. They ain't going nowhere unless somebody chops them down. Strong, powerful, but they ain't have to eat other animals to make that happen. They can use sunlight, air, water, minerals from the soil, and grow from now on, from, you know, as long as they want. And so, the vegetarian, like myself, I have to sit around and wait till the plants getting nutritious and strong and everything and healthy. And then I eat the plant, the fruit. The meat eater, on the other hand, has to wait till the vegetarian gets big and strong from eating plants. And then he comes along and eats the vegetarian, the deer, the antelope, the buffalo, the cow, whatever, the chicken, whatever. And so on the tiers, guys, the plants get it first from the sun, from the earth, and air, and water, basics. They're the first one to get that energy. And they can grow forever with it. You know, we talked about the trees, right? They can grow just with that. We come along, vegetarians, once they get nice and strong and filled with nutrition, we come along and we eat them. And we get filled with nutrition. Then the meat eater comes along on the third tier. So the meat eater is not the top of the food chain. The meat eater is on the bottom of the food chain, on the protein nutrition chain. Plant got it first, straight, pure, straight from the horse's mouth, unadulterated. We have to eat the plant to get it, us vegetarians. But at least we get it secondhand. At least we get it just after the plant. But the meat eater gets it third hand. They have to wait until the plant eater gets nice and fat, and then they have to eat the vegetarian. And so literally, they're not at the top of the, they might be at the top of the food chain, but they ain't at the top of the nutrition chain. They're at the bottom. They're the last step in whatever that sun gave that plant, whatever the air and the water of this earth gave that plant to make it grow strong and healthy. And so I studied this stuff before I became a vegetarian, guys. And so, and I wanted everybody to know who asked that I didn't do it for religious reasons. I didn't do it because I didn't want to hurt animals. They hurt each other. I did it for my health. And tonight, our subject is health, food, diet, and disease. Now, I'm going to take a short break here, but when I come back, guys, I want you to ponder this phrase, this sentence. And when I come back, we're going to break it down. All disease, all dis-ease is a result of resistance to your natural self, all of it. And I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. Don't go away. You listen to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. And tonight here on Revolutionary Life, and remember, we're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Central Standard Time. Or CDT, Central Daylight Time. Same thing. And tonight, guys, we're talking about health, something dear to me, something I've experimented with, and I'm glad to say the experiment worked out okay. Over 20 years ago, I experimented with vegetarianism, not because of anybody's religion, not because of some affinity with animals, with killing that problem with killing animals and all that. No. I was curious because I was having people in my family that I love very dearly, close to me, dropping off like flies. With nobody killing them. They went in plane crashes, car accidents. They died from health problems. They'd be here today, right now. If they could have got a handle on their health, guys. So it's a serious subject for me. You eat what you want to. I used to not encourage people to have a plant-based diet. For the first 10 years, I would never champion vegetarianism and that kind of thing. I didn't know if that was why I was healthy and felt good. I just thought I was young, you know. 20-something years later, I don't mind saying that my plant-based diet, I think, is the reason why I'm in good health. While I'm good, guys. And so tonight I talked about how meat eaters get their nutrition third in line after plants, after the plant eaters. And so they get what's left. I told you that I studied animals. I read studies that studied animals compared to humans, and they found out that meat eaters have a different digestive system completely than vegetarians, eat cows and deer, and et cetera, and look like the human beings' internals for digesting food and working food looks more like the vegetarian than it does like any meat eater in the wild. We don't have the asset that a meat eater produces in their stomach to break down bone and sinew and muscle fibers and hair, whatever else gets in their gullet. And so our bodies have a hard time working with meat, digesting flesh. And so we have to tenderize it. We have to beat it, cook it, boil it, fry it. We have to do something to that stuff to make it edible. And so all this study brought me to the fact that, hey, maybe I ought to try this. So it was an experiment for me. I let one meat go at a time, and then I was down to just vegetables, milk products. I still ate yogurt. I still ate cultured milk because I go after those probiotics, what y'all call probiotics. Back in the day, they were just good bacteria. You wanted to get this good bacteria in your gut. See, all bacteria ain't bad bacteria. Okay, guys, all bacteria ain't bad bacteria. In fact, when they look at your gut, they expect to see an intestinal flora. You know what an intestinal flora is? It's just that your intestines look like a flower bed because of different types of bacteria that are hanging out down there. They're called probiotics today, and they are good bacteria in the sense that they work with us. In other words, they eat up what you don't. They hang around in your intestine, and they eat up what you miss. They keep your gut clean. And so they encourage people these days to go get some probiotics. But back in the day, you got your probiotics by eating yogurt, cultured milk, things like that, kefir, and acidophilus milk, buttermilk, cultured milk, and which is a different animal than whole milk, by the way, guys, those who are not aware of that. Cultured milk has bacterial cultures in it. That's why it's called cultured. It has living things in it, the kind of things you want in your intestine. Once those living things takes over the milk and lives off the milk sugar, the lactose, the milk fundamentally changes from whole milk constituents to basically a medium for bacteria. That's what buttermilk, all, any cultured milk is. It has a living culture in it. In fact, don't buy yogurt unless you read on the label live, L-I-V-E, cultures. That's where you get your probiotics. Anyway, guys, I did a lot of study, as you can tell, before I made the jump. Now, when I left here a minute ago, I told you to ponder this sentence. All disease, all dis-ease is a result of resistance to the natural self. You ever heard that before? As far as the way you get from what you naturally are, built to do and not do, the more you endanger your health. Now, like I told you, when I saw a comparison between the intestinal digestive system of a true meat eater and that of the human being, looked nothing alike. When I saw the intestinal tract of a vegetable eater in the wild, it looked like ours. And so the farther you get from your natural self, the more disease this you will suffer. It's just as simple as that. Back to nature, guys. And so here's an interesting topic. Here's an interesting thing. I want you to think about this. COVID is known as a zootopic. I hope I'm getting that right, guys. A zootopic virus. Just like zoo, Z-O-O. This term is often used to denote animal origin. Animal origin. This virus affects animals first. Now, animal viruses can leap from animals to humans based, and they it's just because of our proximity to them. Now, how close can you get, how much closer can you get to an animal than eating them? And they say you are what you eat. Anyway, let's get on down to it, guys. On a microscopic level, the virus is familiar with animal protein because it's known for being an animal disease. So it's familiar with dealing with animal protein, those little protein spikes sticking off of your little cells that the virus hooks itself up to. It can find those, identify those, it's familiar with them. It is not a virus that comes from plants. In vegetable protein, a vegetarian, somebody who eats vegetation for at least 7 years, you know, the reason I'm saying 7 years is because generally say that after 7 years, each cell in your body is eating it. If you've got a brand new body, and it builds itself off of whatever you put in it, I don't. So if you put animal proteins in your body, and you put, yeah, if you put animal proteins in your body will build itself from those animal proteins. If you put plant proteins in your body, beans, legumes, all those things, and your body will build itself off of vegetable protein. Now, COVID comes from an animal, so it's very familiar with what an animal, what it can do to an animal protein. It can identify it, attach itself to it, and enter that cell of yours. But it hasn't had experience. It doesn't seem to me that it has experience with plant protein. I ain't saying that's why. Somebody might have to do some research to see if vegetarians are coming down with COVID as much as anyone else, because it could be. They are, as far as I know. But it's interesting, every time they say this disease originated with an animal, because we, in fact, when you do your research, you find out that all the diseases we've had in the last 20 years have come from animals. All the big pandemics or the big virus scares and stuff. You don't hear me. Swine flu. Pigs. You don't hear me. Avian flu. Bird flu. Chickens dying. And now we got to go get shots because these animal diseases, it seems, have been able to make their way over to humans. I don't know how that happens. And they tell me it's because of our, you get those kind of diseases because of your proximity. You see, simple example, guys. In the old days, these big castles in England, you had the lord of the manor who ran the castle. He had all these maids. And one maid job was making sure there was a fresh bottle of milk on the breakfast table every morning. This maid would be referred to as the milk maid. At one time in Europe, milkmaids started catching something called cowpox. Then we had something called chicken pox. These are animals. You hear the animal names here, guys? Is that ringing a bell to you? Bird flu, swine flu, chicken pox, cow pox, mad cow disease. All these things are now affecting us. We having to take shots for them and whatnot, inoculations or vaccines. But if you don't hear these animal names popping up every time you hear these diseases popping up, let me tell you, in the last 20 years, they say, all the diseases that have come up concern, these flus and things, most of them are from an animal-derived zootopic. Check that out. I'll be right back. Think about that. Thank you.
It's all on. Just a little. Yeah. I just want to come.
You listen to Revolutionary Life. I'm Gary, and tonight we're talking about health. I told you that all dis-ease, all of it, is resistance to our natural self. Got to get back to nature, don't we? I told you that I disclosed, so everybody knew I wouldn't, you know, doing favoritism or something. I disclosed that I'm a vegetarian. And I became so through study, not a religion or anything else, guys. And so I got all this information about who gets the protein first, the plant, who gets the nutrition first, the plant, who gets it second, the vegetarian, and who comes up last, who has to take what's left, the meat eater. When he eats the vegetarian to get his. Plant got it first hand. The vegetarian got it second hand. And guess who's coming up a close third in nutrition? I told you that an animal's digestive system don't even look like yours, those that eat meat. But those vegetarian animals, interesting enough, look just like yours. My ideology, my thought was that all meat eating was a result of some desperate situation on this planet. If you look at the act in nature, it's sneaky, it's sly, it's sneaky, it's predatory. And keep in mind, in the meat eating world, guys, there are two kinds primarily. One is a predator. Goes out and hunts its own meat, male, man, humans, or animal. If you go out hunting, you're a predator. Let's face it. And number two, you're a scavenger. You wait till something is dead or dying before you eat it. Now, among those two categories, that'll make most of us scavengers, since we eat our flesh dead. Since we eat the dead, we would be scavengers. I know eating the dead is a ghoulish act, it seems to me. And I quit eating the flesh of dead animals over 20 years ago. But I know you can make the flesh of dead animals taste very good, I guess. People still eating that. But I don't eat the dead. I like things that still have a little life force left them. It's still left in them. You know what I mean? I dropped a bean down my drain when I was washing the beans off. One or two of them went down the drain. Do you know the next morning a bean plant was growing up out of my drain? Scared me to death. What the hell? So that bean had sprouted down there. I like eating things that still have a little life force in them. I'm just saying. Eating the dead, I just can't be all that. I pointed out that most of the diseases we've had to deal with, vaccines had to be made and addressed in the past 20 years in this country, were all animal related. Swine flu, bird flu, pigs, chickens. When I say swine, you think pig. When I say bird, avian, you think chicken. Chickens dying. Cow, mad cow. Well, you think cow. I don't. I think pork chops, hamburgers, and chicken, fried chicken. I'm seeing pork chops, hamburgers, and fried chicken. Swine flu. Bird flu. Mad cow. And not COVID, all classified as zootopic, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. The Z-O-O means animal related. It jumped from animals to humans. And I asked, how does it do that? Well, generally it happens when you're in close proximity along a lot of times with animals. And I told you how the milkmaids in Europe used to get cowpox. And then we had chicken pox. I'm just hearing animal names as I research the stuff. And sure enough, now we got COVID, a bat, some animal disease. Now is a human disease. How does that happen? The man says proximity to animals. And how much closer can you get to an animal short of eating him or her, eating it? That's close as you can get, baby. And you are what you eat. Your body's got to use what you put in it to build you, to build and rebuild you, and repair your muscles and all that. You need some protein. And if it's animal protein you're putting in you, then it's animal protein you're going to be primarily built of. And guess who knows animal protein better than anyone? The coronavirus. It came from animals. It can spot animal protein a mile away. I don't eat the flesh of dead animals. I don't eat meat. Sorry. Maybe that's why, I don't know, guys. I'm not going to say that. See, I stopped short of doing shit I don't have research for. But I'm healthy, man. I've been healthy throughout this whole pandemic. And before the pandemic. Ain't no medicine in my closet, in my medicine cabinets. There's no doctor appointments on the agenda. I'm good. So I brag about it now. I used to not. I mean, I told people I was a vegetarian, but I wouldn't push it on anybody because I wasn't sure. I was trying it. It's over 20 years now. Talk about it. I'm good. So I don't know if COVID skips plant protein, but if you eat plants primarily, then your body is, if your diet is plant-based, then your body is primarily, your proteins in your body, what it used to repair it muscle itself, will be and vegetable protein, plant protein, beans, legumes, things like that. Seven almonds, guys. Seven almonds has as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat, damn near. Pretty close. Seven almonds. Eat 10. You'll be sure to get as much protein as a 4-ounce piece of meat. You don't need meat to get protein, fellas. You need meat to get uric acid. Uric acid, the primary source of URIC. Look it up. The primary source of URIC, uric acid, is meat eating. And guess what uric acid does for you? Gout. Arthritis, rheumatism, whatever you call it, aching joints, is acid. It's called uric acid. Look it up, guys. And where do you get uric acid from? How do you come by that? Look that up, too. Primary source, flesh eating, meat eating, carne. And so I did my research, and I went plant-based. I did it well 20 years ago. But you can do it now. You can do it now if you want. Do it because you researched the stuff, and you got an argument. I mean, if you did it because it's your religion or you did it because you hate to hurt animals, people are lining up one way or another around that. But have them argue the science. Have them come argue the science. Sisters, man. I have sisters, man, brothers, man, that are in their graves. And nobody kill them. They went in no traffic accidents and no plane crashes. They died from health problems, man. So I'm doing a show on health. It means something to me. It should mean something to you, you know what I mean, if you're putting it in your body. And with the COVID and all these deaths, might be time to think about it. I don't know. I'm moving into my call-in section right now, guys. I don't want to eat up my call-in section, but I want to mention one more thing before we do that. Is I told you I was going to tell you about breatharians. I don't know if I'll get that tonight, but something very important that we need to talk about. Very important. It's called, how about that? This ain't New Age stuff, guys. It's called, this is fact. It's called belief, and it's called placebo. I'll be right back, and we're going to talk placebo. Just for a minute. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. Just keep in mind, we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, keep in mind that all of our presentations are archived. Therefore, you can up the old presentations on demand. They are on demand. There should be a list of them on the site here. And you can go back if you missed some of the presentations. I've been doing them for quite a while, guys. So you can go back and pick up some of those early ones on everything, and subject that you think might be of importance, that we thought here that might be important to folks' everyday lives. And we took a revolutionary view, perspective of them. It's interesting. I wanted to talk to you about belief because I think this is very, very, very important. Have you never heard of placebo? Every drug that gets passed by the Federal Drug Administration has to go through clinical trials. And in those clinical trials, there's at least three groups. And three groups, I guess. And then in one group are people who take the new experimental medication. It's just that they want to put, that the company, drug companies want to put out on the market and say this drug is supposed to cure tumors. And there's another group, second group. The second group doesn't get anything. And the third group gets, they believe, is the drug also. But it's not. It's a sugar pill. It's just got sugar in it. And so the three groups are set up. The doctors send them over there to the drug company, because these doctors certify that they actually have this particular disease. And this particular drug is supposed to help people with this particular disease, with all these tumors growing all over the place. And so the doctors certify that we got these patients who got this disease and who are interested in your trial. And so the doctors send them over there. So they go over there and they get in these groups, three groups. One takes the drug, the other one takes nothing, and the third one takes a sugar pill that looks like the drug, but unbeknownst to them, it's not the drug at all. It's just sugar. Now, the FDA recently refused to put a drug on the market after those trials, and I'll tell you why. Because 7 out of 10 of the people who took the drug, tumors disappeared. 10 of the people who didn't take the drug continued to have tumors. The people who took the sugar pill, 7 out of 10 of them were cured. 7 out of 10 who took the drug, was FDA said 7 out of 10 took the drug and 7 of them are cured. And 7 out of 10 who took the sugar pill, 7 of them had no more tumors. The tumor's all gone? Yeah. And so the FDA refused to issue out the drug because they couldn't be sure if the drug was it doing the job or was it a placebo effect, what they call the placebo effect. And what the placebo effect boils down to is that the people who took the sugar pill, for all intents and purposes, believed that they was taking the medication. They believed in the doctors. They believed in the medication, and they took it believing they would get healthy. And the tumors disappeared from a sugar pill. 7 out of 10, same amount they took the pill. Theirs might have been placebo too, as a matter of fact. And so the FDA refused to put it out until the actual group beats the placebo group. Now, there's doctors who might get rid of the placebo group altogether, because they said they got pharmaceutical companies who are sending these doctors to these conferences arguing that the placebo group destroys the patient-doctor relationship and trust. But you have to fool the person like they're taking the real drug. You have to make them think they're taking the real drug. And it destroys the doctor relations trust. And maybe we should just get rid of that group. That would be great for the pharmaceutical companies. Nevertheless, guys, what just happened? What just happened? How in the hell do you take a sugar pill and tumors disappear? I got sugar in there in the kitchen. If I thought sugar cured diseases, but it doesn't. They believed they was taking it, and that's where I'm at, guys. That's where I am with you. It's belief is stronger, it will kill you faster than anything. What you choose to believe will kill you faster than anything, or it will cure you. Every drug company has to do a placebo in clinical trials. If you got a drug in your house, it's a brand new bottle, and you open it up, pull it out, that there's a fold-up piece of paper in that drug bottle, and some drugs. And just take that, if you use Nicorette, I think it is. Not Nicorette. There's another one, like Nicorette. But there's others that have a little piece of paper in the drug bottle. Just pull the cotton out. Sometimes there's a fold-up piece of paper. Have the results of the clinical trials, and you will look under that clinical trial, and you will see placebo group, placebo, P-L-A-C-E-B-O. They have to use the placebo group, but the thing I want you to understand before we leave tonight, no medicine will heal you, no poison will kill you faster than what you believe. Damn, we need to do a class on belief. The tumors went away. Did they not have the disease in the first place? Well, there's something called nocebo now. That's research being done. And guys, I teach a foreign language. I could not find research in the United States on placebo other than the pharmaceutical company meeting going to the conference asking to get rid of it because it destroys the patient relationship, friendship, trust. But in Mexico, south of the border, they were experimenting with it. And they have something called nocebo now. They've coined the term nocebo to mean just like placebo means you can make yourself healthy. You can end disease because with your beliefs. There's also something called nocebo where you can kill yourself. You can make yourself sick, ill, because of your beliefs. So I want to throw that in there, guys, because on top of all this diet and vegetarianism and all of that, all this COVID and disease and sickness, I want you to check out what you believe. Because obviously, your beliefs can kill you or heal you. Might be time to examine our belief systems. That's all I'm saying. It's my call-in time, guys. I'm sorry. I'm going into that. This phone number is 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. And also, I'm going to open up my chat. And anybody who'd like to put something in the chat, I will definitely be responding to my chat here. And if you call me, you're coming straight on the air, guys. Everybody hear what you have to say? Everyone will hear my response. This part of the show, it's your time to shine. Call me. Thank you. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. And tonight, guys, we've been talking about health as our topic today. I told you it was a near and dear subject to my heart. Very early on in my life, I was interested in health, started doing some studying, and ended up being a vegetarian behind the studying. Now, I'm making emphasis on that. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't some affinity with animals. But I did some studying, guys. And from what I can tell, we'd be better off if we were plant-based. Now, there's some people who will argue we'd be better off if we were plant-based because we use more plants to feed pig farms and cow stockyards and chicken farms. We use up more vegetables feeding animals to fatten them up to eat them as to eat their flesh than we do. Making vegetation to eat for humans to eat. When somebody says there's a food shortage, and I see corn and cabbages and apples and things like that being given in mass to pigs and cows and chickens, and land that could be growing food for animals to fatten them up, to take them to market to sell, we might have a food shortage because most of our food is going to animals. They're eating good. It's us that's having a hard time eating. And so, guys, anyway, we were talking about health tonight. Food, disease, placebo, your belief systems. But placebo says that your beliefs can heal you. Placebo says your beliefs can kill you. I told you that all dis-ease is a result of the resistance to the natural self, to the natural self. And if you don't know what the natural self is, guys, that's step number one. I did some studying before I became vegetarian. Based on that studying, I became vegetarian. In that studying, I found out a great deal of things about how we gather our nutrition for our bodies. Compare those things to meat eaters out there in nature and compare them to food eaters out there in nature. And looks like we're supposed to be doing plants more than anything. The meat eating thing is a desperate act. Filled with desperation, cunning, trickery. And some people think meat eaters will pick up the characteristics of the animals that they eat. I don't know about that. But I know this. There's two kinds of meat eaters out there. Guys, there's predators who go and get their own meat, and there's scavengers, like catfish. You know, catfish, some big mud cat, we call them in the South. They wiggle down in the mud and something dead or dying to go by. Then they eat. Crippled, dead or dying. Scavengers, you know, buzzards. So it turns out among meat eaters, we more likely fall into the scavenger category since we eat things that are dead already. And eating the dead, especially the flesh of dead animals, has given us a great proximity to those animals. So I told you in the last 20 years, all the diseases, some of the biggest diseases that we've had to fight were zoonotic, i.e. they came from animals to humans. But when you make the list, you see cowpox, chicken pox, bird flu, swine flu, mad cow disease. You see animals. I see chicken wings. I see hamburgers. Yeah. I see food that we eat every day, because if they tell me that the way you get a zootopic, where a disease jumps from a human, from an animal to a human, is because of proximity to that animal. And I ask you, how much closer can you get to an animal short of eating his flesh than eating his flesh. That's about as close you can get in proximity to anything, right? Consuming it. I'm going to have to do some research on this, guys, but I laid out that the virus, coronavirus, was an animal virus. It attached itself to the proteins on the cells of animals, and it invade those cells and infect those cells. So it's very familiar with protein, animal protein. Well, if your basic diet is meat, then your body has made itself up. It has to make itself up on whatever you put in it, right? So your body has repaired itself and built itself and renewed itself off the protein you give it. And so most of your cells are made up of, and muscles and stuff are made up of, animal protein. And a coronavirus can spot an animal protein a mile away. It's used to that. Came from an animal. My hypothesis is that it's not familiar with plant protein. But I don't know, guys. I don't know how many vegetarians out there that's got COVID or vegans or whatever. Maybe somebody ought to check that out. But I thought that was an interesting hypothesis that needs to be further studied, I would say. But that's another reason why, I got a whole nother presentation back there, guys. I told you about the on-demand presentations. I got a whole other presentation back there on vaccination. And it ain't smashing vaccinations or anything like that. Vaccinating people is a method, a mode. There's several of them. It's called natural immunity. And then there's artificial immunity, like vaccinations. And so the goal of both of them is to make you immune to the disease. Correct? When it's all said and done, the shot in your arm or any other type of immunity that you get, any kind of other disease that you get, the goal is to develop immunity to that disease. Ain't it? And so why take the vaccine if you have immunity to the disease? So I don't know. I haven't taken it. But hey, I'm immune. And if that's the goal of the vaccine, I'm already there. Thank you. No, thank you. I made it. I'm where the vaccine is supposed to get y'all. That's where I feel, right? My line's open, guys. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. And my chat room is open. And I'm going to give you a little music. Now it's your time to shine. You listen to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. And tonight we've been talking about health. Dear to my heart, I lost a lot of people around health. And I told you that it was all, at the end, it was all BS. Belief systems. It's to believe that can kill you. You remember nocebo and placebo? Look that up, guys. Folks believed they were taking the medication and got better. What's going on? I want everybody to live a long life. Longevity has its reward. I got a little, you see my sign out there. My sign says, if you don't make time for your health, you're going to definitely make time for your health. I mean, it's time to talk about this, guys. We got COVID. We had the pandemic. We got all this stuff going on. Hospital full of sick people. You know, the hospital full of COVID patients. I wonder what happened to the heart attack and the broken arm. Kids fell out the tree, broken arm, the small stuff. Not the small stuff, but other kinds of emergencies. They got to go in there right there with the COVID, I guess, in the emergency room. Let's look after our health. Let's take it serious. Either you're going to be running around. You're going to be taking... You're going to be taking these vaccines regular. Don't you think this is the last time they're going to stick a needle in your arm? Don't forget, guys, before COVID came along, there was something called flu season. And my local TV channel would always, every school year, would remind you that it's flu season. Get that shot. Get that flu shot. That was when we were getting shots. They were shooting us with needles. They were giving us vaccines before COVID, guys, before any COVID hit. Your kid. And I used to wonder two things. When they told me to go take, that everybody should take the flu shot, I wanted to ask who the flu. Either these people are ignorant or they want you to be. That's the bottom line, guys. If you give me a flu shot and I ask you, which flu is it? Bird flu? Swine flu? What is it? COVID? Which one is it? Spanish flu? Which flu? All you did was go for the flu shot. Which one? Are you giving me all of them at one time? They can't tell me which flu. And then I ask another question. If that shot makes me immune, makes my kid immune so he can go to school, if he's immune, why does he have to take it every year, every season, every flu season? Every year they announce flu season. To take the shot. What shit? If the shot makes you immune, you got to take it every year. What is it? The immunity lasts 12,000 miles in one full year? Like a car warranty? They got you coming for shots every day. It's like high blood pressure. They tell people who take high blood pressure medicine that you will have to take this the rest of your life. A drug company, a drug dealer, hopes to have a customer for the rest of their life. about that. Doctors are telling you, you're going to have to take this pill from now on. Drug companies jumping up and down. And now, you don't have to have diabetes. Now they've got something called pre-diabetes. They want to give you prescriptions now, drugs now, before you get it. They don't want to talk diet. They don't want to talk food. They don't want to talk disease. They don't want to talk what you believe. All the things that can affect your health. Drug companies, I guess, running things, guys, I guess. But you're going to, COVID ain't the end. People talking about, I don't want that shot. These are the same people that took the flu shot before COVID every year. Flu shot season, flu season. Go get your shot. We had shot clinics that do nothing but shot clinic. They've been shooting you up and your children long before COVID got here. They'll be shooting you up and your children long after COVID is gone. Guys, if you're immune, I mean, I got a measles shot when I was a kid. I ain't had with childhood diseases. I ain't had measles. I ain't had to worry about measles. Mumps, chicken pox. You know what we call childhood diseases. I didn't have to take a vaccination every year. Come on now. That's a game. That's a game, baby. And they plan it on you. That's what I see. If I'm immune, what is this next year? I got to do the same thing. If I catch a certain cold or rhinoviruses, make colds or rhinoviruses, and there's 72, there's a bunch of them. If I catch a certain rhinovirus and get a cold, 72 hours, it's over. It's gone. I don't care how bad it was. In 72 hours, it's gone. And I have a developed immunity to that rhinovirus. Now, another one might come along and give me some issues, but not that one anymore. And I can pass my immunity on to a human being, or a woman can pass immunity on to a child in birth and through her milk, feeding them, breastfeeding them. All those things have been known to pass immunity. So did she have to breastfeed him every year? If you're immune, you're immune. If you're not, you're not. Come on now. They're selling vaccines, baby. They're businesses. They're in the job of making a profit, not keeping you well. My lines are open for we got only a few minutes left. Wow. We only got a few minutes left, guys. And so I'm going to give you a little music. If you decide to give me a call, give me a call, and I'll be right back. Thank you. You listen to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Monday through Friday. Where we look at issues that affect our life every day, directly and indirectly. But we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. Libertad. Venceremos. Figárate. Guys, we've been talking about health tonight. All of our presentations are archived. If you missed this presentation, if you caught it in the middle, you just stroll on down on our site here, and you should hit that on-demand section. And you'll see all of our previous presentations. You just hit them, baby, and it'll play. Pick your topic. Of course, we're covering all kinds of topics, man, because they're topics that affect you every day, from work to economics to politics to health. And tonight, in education, tonight we're talking health. And I told you I was a vegetarian. I want to do that right up front. I want to disclose that right up front. So you know that I may have a preference going here, and I do now. But I told you, I never had a preference for 10 years of being a vegetarian. I wouldn't tell anybody that my health, my good health, was a result of vegetarianism. I just didn't have the proof. I was experimenting. It's been over 20 years, guys. Now I'm talking about it. I ain't scared. It's got to be. Okay, so anyway, it's got to have something to do with it, right? I'm thinking. I'm ready to say that now, for sure. I quit eating the flesh of dead animals a long time ago. I just didn't, my research told me there just wasn't a whole lot of nutrition there. That meat eaters get their nutrition third hand. Plants get it first hand. Vegetarian get it second hand. The meat eater has to come on down third hand and see what he can get from the planet. So I just got down a little bit closer to the food chain, to the nutrition chain, in the nutrition chain, a little bit closer. Then there's these people called breatharians now. They don't even eat plants. All they need is water, just like a plant. Just like a plant. They need water, mineral water, or fresh spring water, clean spring water, clean air, sunshine, and they get their energy from sunshine. Like a plant, and minerals in the water, of course, and fresh air. Boom. And they don't have to eat anything. At least that's what I hear. I don't know any. Don't get me wrong. I don't know any, and I haven't tried it. But I've studied it. I've studied it. Guys, that's my point. I'm a vegetarian. Not because I got a sign I'm waving somewhere saying that, you know, stop eating animals. Somebody asked me, if there were no vegetation, what would you do? And I told them, if you didn't run fast enough, I'd eat you. because the Bible was on the agenda. And I, in fact, I told him that I believe that all meat eating result, all meat eating emerged from an atmosphere on this earth when there was a scarcity. If you just look at meat eating in action, you can tell it's a desperate act, violent, desperate, sneaky, cunning, all that stuff. So I thought basically I'd start eating things that still had life force in them. Vegetation, plant seeds. I told you I dropped a bean down my sink, and one day the thing sprouted. I got some potatoes, and I tried to keep them in the dark, but every now and then one started trying to grow on me. I can put a sweet potato in a glass of water, and it'll make a vine. These things still got life force in them. But you still can get your protein from eating the flesh of dead animals. It will just be animal protein. And they tell me all of these diseases have come to us from animals in the last 20 years. Cow pox, pox, swine flu, pigs, bird flu, chicken. I'm seeing pork chops and fried chicken. Because they tell me that the only way a animal disease can get to a human is proximity. How close you are to animals and how often. You can't get no closer to an animal than eating its flesh. So no wonder we got all these animal diseases. We got close proximity. We got some real close proximity to animals. And generally, these flus are the particular animals that we're eating. Swine, chicken, bird flu, cow pox, mad cow. I'm just saying. I quit eating the flesh of dead animals a long time ago. And now I brag about it. I used to not. For 10 years, I would never brag about this. I couldn't prove anything. But it's been over 20 years, guys. Going on 30. And I'm good. You know what I mean. I'm good. Thank you for listening in, everyone. My name is Gary. This is Revolutionary Life. And we're here every weekday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Call-in show, guys, so when you call, when you listen, there will always be a moment when everyone can call in, or and there'll be a chat room open where folks can enter comments in that chat. I want to thank everyone for coming in tonight, listening tonight. If you missed part of it, remember, in an hour from now, this program will be in my on-demand section right there on my site. If you want to catch the next show or what it's going to be about, you can either go to my Facebook page by the same name, Revolutionary Life, or you can follow this program. Just click that word follow up there, upper right-hand corner, I think, and then you can get a heads up. Thank you again for listening in tonight to Revolutionary Life. Tomorrow's Friday, so I will see you tomorrow night. Usually Friday night is our wrap-up night, what we've talked about down through the week. People who may not have gotten a chance to ask questions or call in or whatever, or listen to old presentations from this week and have something to say on them. Friday is the time to talk about all of them, if you like. So if you missed them, if you listen to them later or whatever, well, you can bring them back up and your position on them Friday, because we're going to recap. Friday's recap day. All right. Thank you very much. Thank everyone for listening. And y'all have a great evening, great night. And everybody here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is Gary. Good night from Revolutionary Life. Right here on Blog Talk. Thank you.
Thank you.